to the other children, helping them cast aside their fears and, despite all they had lost, seek peace amidst the dormitories and schoolrooms of the ramshackle old building. For many months this went on, and much to the delight of the orphanage staff, talk of the phantom faltered. The children seemed altogether happier. And when the supply ships came in for the season, some of the orphans were allocated new homes with adoptive parents, eager to lavish love and attention on their new charges. It was not unusual for Elish to be awoken at night by the sound of screaming, for some of the children in the dormitory were plagued by night terrors that would wrench them from their slumber, causing them to lurch up in their beds, their faces gleaming with sweat. Never would the night staff come to comfort the poor children. So Elish would slip from her bed to take their hands, and her calm words and comforting influence would be enough to quiet their nightmares and send them readily back to sleep. However, one night, not long after her arrival, there was a great disturbance during the night, and all around Elish the alarm went up. She leapt from her bed to find the entire dormitory in disarray. And word amongst the children was that the monster had paid a visit in the small hours of the night and stolen away a young boy named Samuel. True enough, there was no sign of Samuel, and search as they might, none of the staff or the children could locate him. Nor was there any evidence that a stranger had come amongst them, save for the window, gently tapping in its frame, stirred by the breeze because the latch had been left undone. After securing the window, the orphanage staff soon began ushering the children back to their beds, cooing sympathetically, shushing their cries of distress. Samuel would be found in the morning, they said, or else he'd decided to run away and leave them, sneaking off into the night to make his own way in the world. Elish, though, could see that Samuel's handful of belongings had been left behind, scattered beneath his bed, and she knew he would never have left his toy heroes behind, for he would never tolerate being separated from the little hand-carved figures. Thus, as the other children finally began to settle once again in their beds, Elish lay awake, reaching out with her senses, for she had come to recognize Samuel through his connection to the universe, similar to her own. This had marked them out as different from the other children. All save perhaps one other. A young Kasserian girl named Jifar, who also seemed to share Elish's unusual perspective. Sure enough, though, Elish could sense no trace of Samuel anywhere within the confines of the orphanage or its grounds. Discomforted, she lay awake for the rest of the night, certain that he would not be found the following day. The next morning, a small expedition was put together from amongst the staff, which set out for the village, hoping to discover that Samuel had fled the short distance to the settlement during the night. They were certain he would be found, cold and embarrassed, huddled in someone's barn, ready to return to the orphanage for a warm bath and a rest. As Elish had predicted, however, the team returned but a few hours later, tired and hungry, claiming that there was neither word nor trace of the boy in the village or anywhere on the surrounding paths and roads. He had simply vanished, and there was nothing at all they could do about it. The next day, the rumours of the dark terror returned as the children whispered about the sounds of scratching they had heard at the window, the hissing breath of the creature as it had moved amongst their beds, the icy cold that had signified its arrival. Despite the best attempts of the staff, the children muttered to one another in fear, terrified of what might